It has gone 25 to 10, and you're listening to the Basic Fiqh program on Radio Islam International. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana. Assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We trust that you are doing well this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ji, Maulana, and for yourself.
Alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab, alhamdulillah. Previously, Mufti Saab, we discussed the tahara with regards to the children, and especially those who are premature or those who are nabaligh, if I may put it in those terms. This is in line with our focus with regards to children. We have discussed various aspects in the past, and the previous one that we had was with regards to tahara. If a child urinates on the carpet, then what's the ruling? If a child urinates on the mattress, on the car seat, how does one get it purified? Those were the types of discussions we had in the previous program, Mufti Saab.
Yes, that's right. Correct, Maulana. I think we've covered quite a bit of discussion on tahara aspects relating to children, as you've rightly pointed out, Jay.
Today we move on to another important discussion, that is the salah in our children and the masail in the fiqh surrounding it, Mufti Saab.
Yes, inshallah, we will discuss those aspects in today's program, Maulana.
We may comment.
Okay, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just before we actually discuss some of the masail relating to salah, I'm not sure if I mentioned this one masala relating to tahara. But maybe if we did, we can repeat it, so it's not a problem. We have, for example, a situation of children. What is the ruling regarding holding Quran for them? So the rule is that they should be holding the Quran with wudu. Since children are not mukallaf, in other words, they're not accountable, it will be permissible for them to touch the Quran without wudu. But as they reach an age of understanding, they should be encouraged and they should be instructed not to touch the Quran without wuzu, and also they should be taught the importance of handling the Quran Sharif with utmost respect. These are important things that have to be ingrained in the children. So if a child did not make wuzu, for example, and read Quran, then we will not say that there was any sin committed or that reading was of no benefit. sometimes children are lazy, or maybe the circumstances are such that they cannot make wudu for a reason, but it is their class for Quran and they have to read their sabak and so on, which is important for them to learn how to read Quran. So they should read Quran, but they should be encouraged also at the same time as they're growing, especially the importance of making wuzu and utmost respect for the Holy Quran. So I think that I'm not sure if we covered it.
No, it wasn't covered.
So now, alhamdulillah, we've covered this one aspect also relating to tahara of children. Now, inshallah, we will discuss some aspects of salah for children. As we know, first of all, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized the importance of salah when they reach the age of 7 for children. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that muru auladakum bis salah wa hum abna'u sab'i sinin wa adribuhum 'alayha wa hum abna'u 'ashra sanawat, or kama qala alayhi salam, that when children reach the age of 7, that is when, first of all, what is 7? It means that when they on the 8th birthday, so to say, on the 8th birthday, that is when they turn, when they completed 7 years and they're turning 8 of age now. So that is what is meant by when children reach the age of 7. It refers to completion of 7 years and the starting of the 8th year. And the same will be said for the other part of the hadith, that when they reach the age of 10 means when they've completed 10 years of age and the 11th birthday sets in, then that is when they should be reprimanded for not reading their salah. And here, when age of 7, they should be given strong encouragement to read their salah, because the habit of salah has to be formed. For 3 years, they will just sort of read, and sporadically, they may read on some days, they may not read on some days. But as they reach the age of 10, then the habit should be so ingrained that then there is no missing salah right till the end of their life. If this habit is not formed, then it becomes difficult later in life to be steadfast on salah, except if Allah Ta'ala gives a person tawfiq. As Quran says also, that وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Salah is difficult except for those people who have khushu. The rest of the people find it difficult to be steadfast on their salah. So this is the fundamental guideline as far as children are concerned relating to salah. However, when it comes to toddlers and children, they also read salah sometimes, but obviously in their own way, sometimes a bit comical to how they read their salah. But that is their little, you know, their little bodies engaging in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no, because they are not mukallaf, there is no reward for them. But according to the Hanafi scholars, the parents will receive the reward of the ibadat of their nabalig children.
Subhanallah.
So there is definitely benefit for those children's ibadah, whatever ibadah they engage in. The parents definitely get the reward for it, because it was the parents who actually in the first instance, nurtured them, brought them up, and it is then the children's actions are attributed to their parents, and the parents get the reward for it. So this is why there's so much of benefit for parents to train their children from small. They will get the reward too, and additionally the children develop those good qualities and habits which inshallah will remain with them for a lifetime.
Interesting indeed.
Now, as we go further, we also find that sometimes people have difficulties in getting their children to awaken for some of the salahs. For example, for Fajr salah, the children are not awakening. So what should one do? So the answer to that is how they get up for school and they go to school. We don't find any excuse for them not to get up for school. Maybe tired and what have you, but it is school time.
So
the parents make sure the children get up and they go to school. Like that, we have for salah. They should be in the similar way awoken for salah, because it is time for salah. Like it is time for school, they have to get up. Even if they squeal and complain, they still are awoken by their parents. Parents will never leave them to continue sleeping with the school time. So like that, in the same way, they should be awoken for the Salatul Fajr. And we also have a situation where children are, they tend to be playing at Asr time, so their parents also should ensure that they are not missing the Asr Salah, because they are so busy with their playing that they had no time to read the Salatul Asr. And similarly, we find that children tend to get tired in the evening because they've had a long day and they want to sleep away early, and the Isha time has not yet set in, so they should not be put to bed so early that they miss the Salatul Isha time. The Salatul Isha must be performed. Yes, they can perform it in the awwal waqt, in the first time. That will be in order. But they should not be omitting it. They should not be missing it out altogether. The Salah should be performed on its time. In other words, they can't do the Salah before the time. Some people might want to do the salah earlier before the time sets in. It will not be allowed. It will not be correct. The salah will not be regarded as being done correctly. So make sure that they are kept up at least till the Isha time sets in, and then they read their Salah and they can go to bed after that. If they are very tired, then they could go to sleep for a short while, then they could be awoken, read their Salatul Isha, and then go back to bed.
Could there be any exemption for exams, Maulana?
No, there's no. Good question, Maulana. Very good question. No, there's no exemption for exams.
Mm.
Because, obviously, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supreme and paramount. All other laws and all other matters are secondary. In fact, on the contrary, by reading Salah, and especially reading Salatul Hajjah, and it doesn't take so much of time. You know, I mean, Salah is a matter of a few minutes. On the contrary, reading Salah will actually become the means of success in the examination. People actually do better because of the barakah of Salah, and they have more confidence, and they are more prepared spiritually, and Allah's help is with them, and they get inspired with the right answers. This is all the barakah of Salah. So exam should never become an excuse to miss out Salah.
Hmm.
And especially, of course, now once a person has reached the age of puberty, then there is absolutely no question of missing Salah at all. This we are referring to children. In principle, we are referring to children that from the age of 7, the encouragement, from the age of 10, the severe reprimand, etc. And yes, now we come to another issue of discussion relating to children, and that is the children that go to masjid. What is the ruling regarding children going to masjid?
Very interesting.
So here we find Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that jannibu sibyanakum wa majaninakum masajidakum. Keep your children and your insane ones away from the masjid. So technically, children should not be taken to the masjid. And especially little children, when they have not been trained, even when it comes to tahara aspect, there's a possibility they could defile the carpets, they could urinate on the carpets. It has happened in many cases. And it puts the musallis and the trustees and the muazzin of the masjid to great difficulties to clean that carpet, etc. So there are reasons why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not encourage the going of little children to the masjid. However, once they reach the age of understanding, which could be, you know, 6-7 years of age and upwards, then as long as they are behaved properly, they have been trained and groomed in the importance of the respect of the masjid, And they will uphold their respect of the masjid, then they could be taken to the masjid. But if they, you know, the younger children are going to be rowdy, mischievous, running around in the masjid, running a racket in the masjid, as they say, Maulana, running a riot in the masjid, shouting, screaming, disturbing the peace of the masjid, laughing, you know, getting up to mischief in the masjid, fighting with other children. These are children, end of the day. Children have these tendencies, mischievous tendencies and so on. And you can expect them to misbehave. But obviously, when they reach an age of understanding and they've been trained and groomed on the importance of the respect for the masjid, then inshallah it will hopefully be respected. And they should be monitored at the same time. People should be keeping a watchful eye on them to ensure that they do not go out of line. So, the children also, when they come to the masjid, there is a certain rule and regulation regarding where they should be standing in the salah, the saf of the children. So this is another masala. One is the masala of whether they should be brought to the masjid or not. And the second masala is relating to this, the serfs and the formation of the serfs. Just on, you know, a point of observation, Maulana. it is strange, you know, we find that fathers, for example, will very eagerly bring their small children, their small boys to the masjid, 3, 4, 5 years old, on whom salah is not compulsory at all, but they will make sure they bring them when they shouldn't be bringing them in the first place. They will bring them to the masjid, those children will get up to mischief, they'll cry, they'll laugh in the masjid, they'll run around in the masjid, whilst the salah is on, they're getting up to mischief and so on. The fathers very proudly bring those children to the masjid on whom salah is not compulsory. But, Maulana, very sadly, those children who are baligh and grown up, and whom the father is supposed to be bringing compulsorily to the masjid for salah, they unfortunately are not there.
Ajim.
They haven't been brought to the masjid. So it is so ironical, you know. For those whom it is not necessary, in fact not correct to bring them, they bring them very cheerfully to the masjid, which is one wrong. And the second wrong is, those who should be brought are not brought at all.
Ajim.
So these are the mistakes of the community that need to be rectified. And this is the reason why we're pointing these things out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give proper understanding to all parents that they play their rightful role as far as the children, the upbringing of the children, etc. is concerned. Make sure that even even after they reach a certain age, the children have to be still monitored for compliance as far as the salah is concerned, and they should not be just neglected. You know, if we see them doing other wrongs, we are quick to stop them. Especially if they say they start taking your phone and making calls and things like that, parents will be very upset with them. How dare you touch my phone, and why are you using my phone, and who gave you permission to do this and that, right? So we get very irritated, upset by those things. If the children take the key for the car and they drive off with the car without permission, then we get very, they got no license, they could cause an accident, they could damage the vehicle, and it has happened in so many cases. Obviously, rightfully, parents get very irritated, annoyed, upset, and they shout at their children. But when it comes to the salah, and they did not perform the salah, then they are just left. Nobody, they are not even told, they are not even awoken, they are not even told to read their salah. They're not even questioned about it. So, how upside down is those priorities now?
Yes.
So this is the reason why, you know, a lot of people in the community are salah chore, as we call them. The thieves of salah. Why? They don't read their salah at all. Why? Because from small they were not grown up with the habit of salah. But if that habit was ingrained from small, and inshallah, it will remain for a lifetime. So therefore, we all should make a very concerted effort to ensure that our children are there for salah. And if every children of every home are there for salah, then who won't be there? Everybody will be there. Masjid will be full. Maulana, you won't get place in Nurul Islam after that. Because the crowds will be so big.
Subhanallah.
But khair, Maulana. Yes, this is as far as that aspect is concerned. Now when it comes to the formation of the safs of the children, there is a sunnah method of formation of the safs for their children. وَيَصُفُ الرِّجَالُ ثُمَّ الصِّبْيَانُ and ثُمَّ الْخُنَافَ. There is a tartib, a pattern of the formation of self. So essentially, the men and adults will stand in the front selves, and children will stand in the rear selves. They will form their selves behind the adults. Now if the selves have been formed when salah starts, and some adults came and they did not find place in the front self, so they can join the children's saf, they will stand to the right and left of the children's saf. Some people have got a bad habit of taking children out from their saf and moving them to the back and standing in that saf there. Some even pick them up from the ground and move them a few steps back. This is incorrect. Some people have the wrong concept that if a child stands between the adults, then the salah of the adults is not valid. This is not correct. This is not true. The salah of the adults is not affected in any way if there is a child standing in the saf. Because the salah of children, although it is not farz upon them, but still one should not destroy and ruin their salah by breaking their salah, by moving them out of their places, etc. And just as we should not be interrupting the salah of an adult, we should not be interrupting the salah of a child. That is also not correct.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we should keep this in mind, and we should remove this misconception that, you know, children standing in the adult saf could cause the saf or the salah of the adults to be affected in any way. It doesn't affect the salah of the adults in any way. But this is the orderly manner of Deenul Islam, that adults in the beginning of the salah, they fill the front safs, and then children, because then the safs are in a very neat and orderly way. Deen teaches us this orderliness. That's the reason why children, otherwise if you have a whole lot of children standing in between adults and so on, then the orderliness of the saf is not there. So this is the reason why children, people of one age group are standing in the back, and people of the adulthood are standing in the front. However, if for example we find that the children could possibly be getting up to mischief standing in the back, then it is better to keep them on the sides of the men's saf. For example, a father takes his children, they're obviously now of a certain age, and he has told them and trained them, but they are children, they could get up to mischief, so he will take them and he will keep them on the end of the saf, stand towards the end of the saf, and keep those one, two youngsters on the side there, those children on the side of the saf. So in that way, they may be standing in the male saf, but they're on the edges of the saf, they're not right in the center of the saf.
Subhanallah.
Then also we find that if there are only one or two children, and the adults are full in their saf, they're in the front saf, and there's only one or two children in the back saf, those children could also be put into the adult saf on the side, so that they don't need to form a separate saf just for one or two children, or sometimes it's just one child. The one child will not be made to stand alone in the back, but that child could join in the adult saf and stand in the side of the saf.
Mufti Sab, I think our saf has ended. It is 10 o'clock at the moment, Mufti Sab.
Okay, Maulana. We conclude on this note, just once more to reiterate that the children should not be mishandled in the masjid and, you know, taken out of their place in the saf and, you know, right, handled with disrespect, or nor should they be handled in a manner that will discourage them from coming to the masjid. They may be told if they are doing wrong, but in a loving way, in a kind way, not in a manner that will drive them away from the masjid and they will stop coming for salah too. So one has to strike a fine balance. There have been cases where some adults have been so harsh with the children that those children now refuse to go to masjid altogether, and perhaps they could for life stop going to masjid. And that person who did this kind of harsh reprimanding could be responsible for somebody not reading salah for the rest of their life in a masjid. So therefore we should keep a balance in all of these things. With that we conclude, Maulana.
JazakAllah khairan. As always, we learn a lot from the program, mashallah. We hope to pick up on this next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.